All right, guys, so we talked already a couple of days ago, I don't remember exactly when, about how Amalek, there's three times in our history when Amalek and Bnei Israel interacted. Okay, by Har Sinai, and then again by Shaul HaMelech, and then again by the Purim story. Okay, all three of these incidents happened at moments when Bnei Israel was weak in Amunah, weak in the feeling, it's not just any kind of Amunah, weak in the feeling of, is Hashem with us or not? Very famously, by Har Sinai, it says that Bnei Israel said, "Aimish Hashem bikir beinu im ayin." Okay, right before Amalek comes, they said I forgot which of the Averis it was. I think it was the water, maybe. I don't remember. But they said right before Amalek came, they said, "Aimish Hashem bikir beinu im ayin." Is Hashem among us or not? And Chazal gave a mashal for this, a mashal, a parable of a man who's walking with his carrying his son on his shoulders. He's carrying his son on his shoulders. So the idea of this, by the way, is that the son doesn't see his father because he's on the shoulders, right? And wherever they're walking, the son says to the father, "Oh, Dad, can you give me that apple?" And the father picks up the apple and gives it to his son. That was Mamash's gavra. And then he says, "Oh, Dad, can I have a cup of water?" And his father gives him a cup of water, passes it up to him. Everything that the son asks for, his father gives him. And then, as they're walking, the son sees a guy that he knows, and he's like, "Yo, did you see my father? Where's my father?" He's on his father's shoulders. And his father says, "You don't know where I am? Every second you're asking me for stuff and you don't even know where I am." And he takes him off his shoulders. And when he takes him off his shoulders, the dog comes and bites him. That's Amalek. When we said we don't know where Hashem is, we don't know if is Hashem in amongst us or not. Everything Hashem is giving us everything. Hashem is giving us laman. Hashem is protecting us without any kavod. Hashem is giving us water from the well. Everything is Hashem. What do you mean? Is Hashem among us or not? So Hashem Kilu took us off his shoulders. And Amalek is coming. Amalek is a dog. Amalek comes and gives us a bite. Okay? So it's again, it's because of this suffix that we had about is Hashem with us or not. In Shmuel, okay, when Shaul is commanded to go kill Amalek, it says in the Psukim before this, okay, it's right when Shaul is made king, that's when it happens. Okay? And why did Shaul become king? What happened there? So the people got together and they all, it says in the Pesukim here, I'll just read a few Pesukim, okay? It says in Shmuel Aleph and Perek Hey, Pasuk Daled and Vayter, it says, "Vayiskavtzu kol zekne Yisrael vayavol Shmuel haramata." All of the Zekanim of Israel came and they gathered together and they went to Shmuel's house in Ramah. Vayomru Eliv, and they said to him, "Hinei ata zakanta, you're old." It's not a nice thing. Okay, they said, "You're an old man already. And your sons didn't follow in your path. Atah now, sima lanu melech, place upon us a king. Neshavteinu kechol ha-goyim, to judge us like all the rest of the goyim, all the goyim, all the nations have a king. We need a king. When you were alive and young, so you know you were leading us, and that was good. But your sons are not taking over for you. We need a leader." Shmuel was not happy about this. Vayirah davar b'nei Shmuel. It was an evil thing in Shmuel's eyes that they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Shmuel davened Hashem because he's just upset about this. And he doesn't know, should I do it or should I not do it also? Shmuel, the simple understanding is that Shmuel thought, you have a king. You have a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you need more than that? What do you need a king of a person in the flesh? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a king. And he was also upset because it seems like it's like feeling like a personal insult to him. You know, he was the leader, and now they're saying, "No, we want a king." But they did insult him. They said he's old. Okay, whatever. Anyway, so he dances Hashem. By Yomer Hashem El Shmuel. Listen to what Hashem says to Shmuel. He says, "Shema b'kol ha'am." Listen to the voice of the people. Give them a king. The Chol Asher Yamru Elecha to what they're saying to you. Ki lo otcha ma'asu. They are not. Ma'asu. They're not disgusted with you. Ki oti ma'asu. Mim loch aleihem. It's me Hashem says to Shmuel. They're disgusted with me being their king. So B'nai Yisrael's asking Shmuel for a king was essentially, basically saying, we don't have a king other than this person that you're going to give us. We don't have a king. What about Hashem? We don't feel Hashem. We don't feel, they're ma'es in the mouths of Hashem. We don't feel Hashem as the king. We don't feel that. We need a person that we can say, yeah, this is our king. Hashem, our king, is not enough. Okay? And then what happens right after that? Shaul is appointed the king. First thing he's told to do is go kill Amalek. That's our second introduction to Amalek. Amalek comes and is attacking us exactly after we said, we don't have a king. We don't have a king. Hashem is not our king. We don't feel Hashem. And it's the same thing by the Megillah. By the Megillah, when does the Purim story happen? After the Golus. After Golus. After the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed and we're kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. And what are the people feeling? What are the people feeling? What were the people feeling before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed? Yirmiyahu HaNavi came and said, the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed. He gave them prophecies. He was known to be a prophet. And he's telling them, the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed. What do the people say? The people said, Beis Hashem? Beis Hashem is going to be destroyed? Are you crazy? That's God's house. The Goyim can't destroy God's house. They can't destroy God's house. God is there. Hashem is there. Hashem is all powerful. Who can touch Hashem? Nobody can touch Hashem. There's no way. Hear me out. You must have misunderstood the Nevuah. Can't be. Can't be that God's house is going to get destroyed. His presence is there. And what happened? It was destroyed. So what do the people feel? Hashem's presence is not there. Hashem's presence left us. Hashem's presence is not with us anymore. Now, to a certain extent, they were right. If the Shekhinah was fully in the Beis HaMikdash as it was in its heyday, there's no way that they wouldn't come and destroy it. That's why it says about Nebuchadnezzar that the pasuk says that Kemach tachun tachanta, you ground up flour that was already ground. He destroyed an empty shell. The building wasn't the house of Hashem anymore. So they were right to a certain extent. But the point is that Hashem, they felt strongly that God is not amongst them anymore, that God is not with them anymore. What happens? That's when Amalek comes in. Amalek comes in every time in our history when we feel, when we don't feel that Hashem is with us. Okay? That's what's going on. Now, what is, therefore, the ultimate reversal of that? The ultimate reversal of that is the building of the Mishkan itself. The building of the Mishkan itself is the answer to that question of, is Hashem with me or not? And that's all three of these cases also. Amalek comes and attacks us, and what are we commanded to do? Okay, we have obviously at Har Sinai right after that. So then we saw Hashem much clearer than anything else. But right after that, we were given the command to build the Mishkan, to have Hashem's presence with us at all times, that we should always feel Hashem's presence with us. Shaul HaMelech, it wasn't exactly right after that, but part of the mitzvahs of a king is first to wipe out Amalek. We spoke about this. I don't remember when it was. Oh, with the Renan Salam Parsha Zachar, right? Part of the mitzvahs of the king is that you have to wipe out Amalek and then build the Beis HaMikdash, because that's the antidote. The antidote to Amalek, who's casting doubt, or at least comes because of your doubt if Hashem exists. So the way to overcome that is to build the Beis HaMikdash, and then you have Hashem in your midst. And so too it was also with Esther. One of the, if you guys have seen the Agatha in the end of the first parak. So the beginning of it is all the different Amoraim's introduction to the story, right? To the Purim story. This is like their drasha that they would give on Purim, right? Not necessarily talking about the Megillah or, you know, Psukim. This is how they introduced the topic of the Purim story. And there was 18 different drushas there. One of the drushas is how Hashem prepares. Hashem prepares wealth and power in the hands of the Rishayim in order to give it over to the Tzaddikim. That's one of the drushas. What? Well, how so? Haman had all this money and all this power and all this influence. And in the end of the Megillah story, Ahasuerus is put in charge of Haman's household, which means that he gets all of his money, and he also basically accrues all of his power as well. Okay? That's what the Megillah is all about. That's like the quintessential point of the Megillah, is that we got Haman's money. We got his power. Like, I would have thought that's like, okay, like a nice benefit, a side quest. Benefit to what happened in the story. But I wouldn't have thought that that's like an ikker thing. That's how this Amora introduced the Megillah story. I heard a beautiful pshat once from Moshe Targum. He says, and I'll say another question before I get to that. Another question. The Gemara, there's something called Megillah Tainus. Anybody ever hear of Megillah Tainus? Okay, what is Megillah Tainus? Beautiful. It's a list of days. We don't have this anymore. It's a list of days that was written and compiled after the second base of Mitzvah was rebuilt. After it was rebuilt. So we're talking just a little bit after. It was actually not after it was rebuilt. It was actually after the Hashmarayim and Hanukkah, because Hanukkah is also mentioned there. But part of that, so it's a couple hundred years afterwards, after Purim's story. It's a list of all the Moedim, all the dates in the year that you're not allowed to fast. We don't observe this anymore. The Gemara says that once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, all the holidays, so what it says in the Gemara is that all of the dates listed in this Megillah Tainus, okay, all of the dates listed in this book that you're not allowed to fast on, they were all instituted as days of rejoicing and therefore can't fast because they all had something to do with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Either the rebuilding of it or the reconsecrating of it after the Hashmonaim destroyed the, got rid of the Greeks. Okay? Every date in the Sefer has something to do with rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? And that's what Gemara says, and that's why we no longer observe these dates. Okay, there's many, many, many dates there that we do not observe. There's only two that we still observe. I'm going to get to that in a second. But we don't observe any of those dates anymore. Why? Because the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So once the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, what are we celebrating? We're celebrating rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. That's over. We lost it, right? So we don't celebrate anymore the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore, okay? So that's what the Gemara says, except for two. Two of the dates that are in Megillah Tainus still are usher to fast on and to do Hespedim on. What are those two dates? Hanukkah and Purim. Those are the only two. So wait a second. That means that Purim is in the Megillah Tainus. The Hanukkah, I understand. Hanukkah, even though it wasn't the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, but it was the reconsecrating of the Beis HaMikdash, like we said before. But what does Purim do with the Beis HaMikdash? Purim is not a Beis HaMikdash holiday. There was no Beis HaMikdash, and they didn't build a Beis HaMikdash. That's a Purim. So what's going on? The pshat is, through the Purim story, so there's many different pshatim in this, but one idea is that it's through the Purim story that we had the funding and power available to us to actually go and rebuild it. One of the things that Mordechai and Esther used, all of those vast funds that Haman had at his disposal, was to go ahead and fund the project to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It's because of the Purim story that Daryavish is born to Esther Amalka, who is Ahasuerus' son, and he becomes the emperor who then allows the Jews to go and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So the Purim story has another layer to it that we don't necessarily usually focus on, which is that it is the opening, it is the beginning, essentially, of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, of the first Gula that we had. And therefore, the idea that Haman's wealth and power got transferred to Mordechai and Esther actually is a major role in terms of our being able to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And of course, guys, of course, this is the whole concept of the Megillah. The whole concept of the Megillah. So wait, first of all, why was I saying that? Because, again, there was a fight with Amalek. Amalek comes at us when we feel that we're done, when we feel like Hashem has left us. Every time that he comes because of that. That's happened in Megillah also. We felt that Hashem wasn't with us. And what's the antidote? The antidote is to build a Mishkan, to build a place where we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. We build a Mishkan, we build a base, the first base of Mikdash, and we build the second base of Mikdash. It's all the antidote for Amalek. But the truth is that in the Megillah story, that's mamash the whole idea of the Megillah story. The whole concept of the Megillah story is that we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when we don't see him. Kiviyachol. Right? Famously. What's missing from the whole Megillah? Hashem's name. It's not mentioned even once. It's not just even Hashem's name. It's the whole concept of Hashem. The whole concept of Hashem is it just doesn't exist. Right? Because Hashem is acting behind the scenes. And we are meant to read the Megillah twice. Why do we read the Megillah twice? We have an obligation to read the Megillah twice. We read it at night. And they read it again during the day. Why? Because when we see the story, when we're in the middle of the story, and we don't know the outcome yet, we don't see Hashem. When you're in the middle of it, you don't see Hashem. It's only when you get to the end and you see how everything worked out, then all of a sudden you see Hashem. Now you go back and you read it again. Every detail that you see, everything that happens, every single thing that happens, it's all orchestrated to lead to the eventual outcome of the Jews being saved and being able to wipe out Amalek. You only fully appreciate it the second time going through it. Every time, every pasuk, everything that happens, it's all leading to the geula for Klal Yisrael. It's Hashem is hidden. Hashem is hidden in the story of the geula. And that's our lives today. Our lives today is Hashem's hidden. Rav Katz always says, it always says, we're in the middle right now. We're in the middle. We have all these threats. Iran, anti-Semitism in America, also in Canada, Ein Maladaber, France, Ein Maladaber, right? Terrible, terrible, open anti-Semitism. Even at the levels of government. And you have... We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. It looks like not good. Doesn't look very good right now. We're in the middle of the Megillah story. We're in the middle of the Megillah story. We are in the middle of the Megillah right now. Like the Jews in Shushan. Did the Jews in Shushan know it was going to end well? They also had no idea. There was a gzeira on their heads to be wiped out. They were going to be destroyed. They were in a matzav where they were scared for their lives. They didn't know what it was going to be. They were in the middle of the story. But we are also in the middle of the story. But the difference is that we've already had a Megillah once in our history. We already had a Megillah once. And so even when we don't see Hashem is in our midst, we know that Hashem is there. We know that everything is happening for a reason. And there's a plan. And it's being orchestrated from on high. And because we know that, we can take comfort in that. And we can believe and we can remind ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the events. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind the scenes. Just quickly, this idea ties itself also into Parshas Tetzaveh. The big topic, you can't get into all of it right now, but the topic of clothing is a central theme. Central theme of Parshas Tetzaveh. The majority of the Parshas talking about the clothing of the Kohan and the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Hedio. The clothing. Clothing is the Chavod L'Tifaris. Where else do we see an idea of clothing, a kavod in the Mishkan? We have the anane hakavod, the clouds of honor, the clouds of honor. What does that mean? Why are they clouds of honor? The clouds of honor means like this. What happens when there's the clouds of honor in the Mishkan? What does that mean? What does that demonstrate to us? It says in the end of the Sefer, in the end of Shmos, that we're going to read in 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. It says there in the very end of Shmos, it says, they inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, they built it, they inaugurated it, everything was set up. And then it says that the Anane HaKavod filled the Mishkan and they couldn't even go in. The Anane HaKavod filled the Mishkan so much that the people, Moshe Rabbeinu, could not enter. What does it demonstrate? What is it showing us? That the clouds of the Kavod were in the Mishkan. What is it showing us? What is that symbolizing? It's symbolizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was there, was filling the Mishkan. The clouds are covering. It's a covering, right? When there's cloudy, you can't see. It's a cover. You can't see. You can't see what's in the clouds. The clouds are the clothing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiviyachol. It's the cover that Hashem uses to go out. We're wearing clothing, right? Clothing covers me in order so you can see me. You have what I just said? Clothing covers me in order so you can see me. Because you can't see me when I'm naked. I'm not gonna go out. I'm not gonna go out of my house. I'm not wearing clothing. I wear clothing, I cover myself in order so that you can see me. Same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wearing, he's covering himself up, kiviyachol, with these clouds in order that his Shechina should be there. Hashem's Shechina is going to be in the Mishkan. It's going to be covered with clouds. That's the idea of kavod. That's the idea of kavod, of self-respect. A person doesn't go out on the street naked because he has self-respect. That's kavod. Clothing are kavod. By the B'gidei Kehunim, there's much, much more to talk about, but that's the basic idea of what begadim are. It's about kavod. When Hashem is covered, Hashem is hidden, but that essentially is also simultaneously the biggest revelation of Hashem. When Hashem is acting in a way in this world where he's hidden, we don't see him. But if we can attune ourselves into events and we can see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running events even behind the scenes, that's the biggest revelation of Hashem in this world. That's the biggest revelation of Hashem in this world. So we should be zocheh that we are. Yeah, okay. This is, if you understand, this is also the concept of that you don't know the difference between Aram Haman and Baruch Mordechai. You don't know the difference between Aram Haman and Baruch Mordechai because Hashem is the one who's everything. Hashem is everything. Hashem is also the Mordechai and he's also the Haman. And he's hidden. He's hidden. So there's no difference between them. When you get to that point on Purim, it means that you're getting to a point where I fully recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running everything. And then there's no difference in Baruch Haman and between Aram Haman and Baruch Mordechai. So the concept that we're saying is, gentlemen, Amalek is there to tell us that Hashem is not with us, and the antidote to that is to reinforce and to reaffirm in ourselves that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does exist. When we read the news, you read the news in terms of understanding. This is what Hashem did today. Hashem did this today. Hashem made the prime minister of whatever say this and this today. Hashem made that the missiles in the Ukraine were fired this way. Hashem did it. Hashem does everything that happens. That's what we see from the Purim story. That's the antidote to Amalek. And if we live that way, we'll live life the way it should be lived. Have a good Shabbos. Parshas Zachar.